While you're finding that, find John 11 also, and be ready for the reading of that. And Lord, help us tonight. We're going to try to finish up this series that God laid on my heart, and pray that been a blessing will be tonight. I pray somebody get saved, somebody get right with God. We'd all get closer to the Lord. And during Christmas season, a lot of time people, we all get busy, I guess, in different things, and there's different activities going on and all of that, but may God help us just draw nigh to Jesus and love him more and more. It's all about him coming into the world, dying for us. All right, John chapter 20, verse number 30, 31. Let's stand, please. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. Now he's telling us why they're written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then that believing, you might have life through his name. That's why these things were written. John said not everything Jesus did could be written or was not written in the book, in these Gospels, but many things were for our good, that we might know that Jesus is the Christ. John chapter 11, verse number 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Let me pause there just a moment. I'm not preaching on faith tonight, but here's a great statement made. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. How we need to be challenged to believe God, to trust God. And he'd been talking to her and telling her that he was a resurrection and the life. And here he's saying, now, I told you, if you believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And verse number 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. That's exactly why God said it was written, that they might believe on him. I'm glad tonight we have the word of God, that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing, we might have life. Not only that, but the word of God says if we believe on Jesus and have the Son, we have abundant life. And I'm glad for that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us. Thank you for every song sung, prayer prayed, offering taken, everything done. I pray, God, music played, everything be your glory and your honor. Father, tonight as we stand here to preach, trying to close out this series, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we need a divine touch. We need the power of the Holy Ghost be upon us. Lord, I pray tonight that it would be free to preach, liberty here. I ask in Jesus' name, God, the power of God to work in this place. And I pray, rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. May we tonight forget about everything else and just open our minds and hearts to the preaching of the word of God. Our Father, I stand here in need. I need you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name for that divine touch. Then, Lord, take the word of God. These people here, it's lost without God. They need to be saved tonight. And I pray the Holy Ghost will speak to their heart. Convict them and let them see what they need to do and that they'll respond to the preaching of the word of God and come to Jesus. I pray for those who are here tonight and they're gone cold, indifferent. lost the joy, I pray tonight be the night that joy be restored. Then, Father, I pray help those who are going through problems, difficulties. Encourage the hearts. Help those that are sick. Help those that need special touch tonight. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm trying tonight to cover quite a bit of territory, so I'll not preach too long, I don't think. Don't know what I'll do yet, but I want to share this with you. And fact is, I got to reading something here, just dawned on me back in the office just before church. I'd about to be late coming out here. It got real to me, and I pray God will help us get real to all of us tonight and might see what God's saying here. Now, we've been talking about signs to explain salvation. We give you three about how to be saved, the Word of God, and faith and grace. We talked about that. Talked about how to share it with the feeding of 5,000. We talked about the fact of the peace that God brings when He comes into your life. And the ship was on the sea. It was a stormy sea. And Jesus came. And then they was immediately at the other side where they went. I say, praise God. We're going to get where we're going. Yes, amen. Fact is, saved people are as good as they are already. We're in Christ, hid in Him already there. Amen. We're citizens of two countries. I'm a citizen of this country, but I'm a citizen of another country. Not of this world, but another world. I praise God, and I'm just an ambassador passing through down here, representing that country to this country, that people here may go there. And if they'll listen and hear the Word of God, they can go there. But if they don't, they'll not go. So I pray God to help them to listen to the Word of God. Then when we talked about light this morning, the blind man that they couldn't see, it's dark, but when Jesus did what He did and gave him his sight and he could see, thank God. I'm glad that we walk in the light. Amen. Thank God for the light that we can walk in. The world don't know what it's about. They walk in darkness. That's why they act the way they act, do what they do, because they're in darkness and they're blundering around trying to find out some things where they are and all that. But thank God we walk in light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I say amen for that. But tonight now, in closing now, we're going to talk about the results of salvation. Results of it is life. I'm glad I have life. 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 People want to live, and they want to find out what life is about. And here we have a story told. It's well known. You're familiar with it. If you've been in church at all, you're familiar with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But let me share about three things with you tonight, and I pray God to help us. But in introduction, let me say this. There's three classes of people here. Jews, they thought that Jesus, it was too early for the Messiah to be there. And then the disciples thought the case was too hard. And then Mary and Martha, they thought it was too late. But let me remind you that Jesus is always on time. He's never too late. He's never too early. And not any case too hard for Him to handle. I say amen and amen. I'm glad our God is able to handle that situation. You say, but my situation is so hard. I don't know. God can help me. God can help you. He can handle any situation. Here He is. Now at the tomb of Lazarus. Now, let's talk about the condition, first of all, of Lazarus. And he was dead. 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 Verse number 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. Verse 44, he that was dead. And so he was in a condition that the Bible calls dead, and he was dead. Physically, he was dead. And been dead 4 days, been preparing for burial and put in a tomb and a stone in front of that. And so he was dead. He wasn't just sick. He wasn't just feeling bad. He just didn't swoon out. He was dead. And we must understand that. The unsaved people are not just sick, and they're not like some say, if you fan the flame, they'll flame up in them and they'll be all right. And if they'll just get them in church or they'll just do this or that for them. No, no, no. A dead person needs life. A good new suit won't help a dead person. A new car, a new house, or plenty of money in their pockets and all of that, that won't help a dead man. He'll be just as dead as he was to start with. Only thing that's going to help a dead man is life. And I'm glad, praise God. You say, preacher, you may die physically. I may, but don't you tell anybody I'm dead. Amen. Because the Bible says, he that liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Believest thou this? I do. Amen. This old body may go back to the dust from whence it came, but I won't be dead. I'll be living in the presence of the living God. Amen. And be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And I say hallelujah and praise God for the reality of that. Aren't you glad you're alive tonight? I mean alive forevermore. I say praise God. It doesn't make any difference what happens in between there. We may suffer, we may have problems, we may have difficulties and all that, but thank God we are alive tonight. If we are saved, and we can rejoice in the fact that we are alive, we live, we have everlasting life on the inside and shall live forever and forever and forever. Talking to somebody a while ago just before church, one of these days we'll get a new body, hallelujah, amen, but this person on the inside is going to live forever. I'm glad, thank God, for everlasting life that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior and living forever. Now, he's dead, so we talked about what he needs, but he's not only dead, he's decayed. And notice again, verse number 39, when he said, take away the stone, and he'd been dead 4 days, but verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said, I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And talking about him, back in verse 39, I missed that. And said, dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And I thought about this. He'd been dead long enough that decay is setting in. And Martha and Mary was afraid if he took a stone away, just be a smell. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or crude about this thing, but I'm trying to be honest with you. And this body decays. And it does go back to the dust from whence it came. And so they were afraid of what the people would smell if they took away a stone. But Jesus said, believe. And let me say to you tonight, if you're unsaved, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent and believe. You can be saved tonight. You don't have to live in fear of not living forever. See, to be dead, to be separated from God. And we'll never be separated from God. I'm glad for that. Amen. But unsaved people will be separated, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire and be away from God, not be in the presence of him forever and forever. I say, may God help you tonight to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, in the New Testament, there's three resurrections. I've preached this many times, but I'm going to say it again tonight because it drives home such a real point. In the New Testament, there's three resurrections before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have a young lady that was about 12 years of age. She had died, just had died, and Jesus came and raised her from the dead. And they rejoiced and praised God because he raised from the dead. Then you have the second one. That's a widow Nain. She was coming out with her son, a young man, the Bible said. And so he's older than the girl was, but not as old as Lazarus was. And the girl just had died. This young man had not been dead too long. They prepared him for burial, so been dead a little bit. And they prepared taking him out to bury him. Then Lazarus had died, and he was older and also been dead longer. And there he is in the tomb, and they're talking about him stinking. Now, what's the difference in a 12-year-old or a young person realizing they're lost and realizing they're without God? They are just as dead spiritually as that man that's a drunk laying in the ditch. They need the same thing the drunk needs, and that is life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, a young person doesn't need what an old person needs. They rejected Christ and they've been out in the world and drank and drugged and everything else. Surely there's a difference. No, no. In the sight of God, when a person realizes they're lost and without God, they're just as lost as they'll ever be. You can't get loster. I don't think that's a word, but you can't get loster, and you can't get deader than dead. That's not a word either, I don't guess, but anyway, you can't get loster nor deader. And so that drives home a real point to me. It helps me to realize that young person, that's why we need to reach young. You know the only difference in these three people that were dead that resurrected? How much corruption had set in. And that's the difference in seeing a young person say, thank God they're not as corrupt as the older person. They haven't been through as much. We sometimes think of people have the best testimony. Somebody's been a drunk and somebody's lived wild and like that all their life. And that's a great testimony. I'm glad they have a good testimony. It is a good testimony. But let me tell you, the best testimony you can have is being saved when you're young and not ever tasting beer or liquor, not ever committing fornication, not ever going through all that mess. That's the best testimony young person had. I want you to know, young people, you're saved. You got a good testimony. Don't you worry about that crowd out there. People talk about they got to sow the wild oats. That's a devil's lie right out of hell. You don't have to do that. Amen. You live for God, live for Jesus, and have a good testimony. God will bless you and help you. And you can let your light shine when your life is real. I'm glad God saves young folk. I'm glad God saves young folk. Amen. Dallas over there waving at me, and I say hallelujah. That makes me want to preach more to young people. Amen. I'm glad for young people to love God, have a desire to serve God. Don't go through all that mess, that junk out there. Amen. And live for God. You'll be glad it's all over with. Amen. Now, if you're here and you are drunk, or you are committing fornication, or you are in some kind of sin somewhere, I'm glad God loves you too. God loves you just as much as he loves the young people. He'll save you, and you can have a good testimony, no question about it. But I'm trying to show you tonight, only difference in people that are lost is how much corruption has set in. That's the only difference. And so tonight, you young people that may be lost without God tonight, I want you to come to Jesus and be saved. Be born in the family of God, because it is God that loves you and cares. And you're dead in sins and trespasses. Ephesians 2:1 says you have the quickened, I mean made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so tonight I pray you'll come to Jesus and be saved. Now let me say number two, the change that takes place here. Here's a man laying in the tomb, and he's wrapped in grave clothes. He's dead, and the change is about to take place. Hallelujah. I get excited thinking about it. I was dead in sins and trespasses, but there's a change took place in my life. Hey, something happened on the inside. That day that God saved me by his wonderful grace, I used to look around, and as a church member, I look around trying to find other people. I look at their lives. I'd say, well, if they're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I guess I'm as good as they are. And we talk about the same thing. We do the same thing, all that. You know, I thought, well, it must be all right. But I'm glad God began to work on my heart. Hey, sometimes I think, well, I believe I'll make it to heaven. Other times I know I won't. And I went through that for a while, but one Sunday morning, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost of God came by, and Brother Mark showed me I was lost and without God. I knew it. I just hadn't admitted it. And God let me that day reach a point where I would admit it, and God came into my heart, saved me by his marvelous grace, birthed me in the family of God. There's a change in me. Amen. I've never been the same since. I failed God. I've come short of the glory of God and all that. But I want you to know I've never been the same. Never have been the same. Anybody that ever really gets saved can never be the same again. Because there's a change been made. You've given life, eternal life on the inside, and you can never change that. And old flesh may get out of those whack every once in a while and have to bring her back in line. But Paul said, I die daily. He's talking about dying in the members, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to know right now, there's a change made. Lazarus laying there, been dead 4 days, and by this time he's stinking. And Jesus said, and knows how he raised him by his word. In verse 43, I believe it is, he said, Lazarus, come forth with a loud voice. Called his name. Hadn't called his name, everybody in the graveyard had got up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, here's what got me to die. Back there in that office, I was studying back there and just refreshing my mind on this a little bit. I got to looking at this. Hallelujah. And I want you to look at it with me. And I hope God dawns it on you like he did me. Look in verse 43. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now here's what got surreal to me. I've been there all the time. I just never had thought about it. Here's Lazarus. When he comes from the grave, he's got that napkin on his face. He's all bound up in grave clothes. But when Jesus came out of the grave, he left his grave clothes in the grave. He left that napkin wrapped up in the grave. He didn't bring it out. Hallelujah. I got to think about that, and I'm about to miss church tonight because I think about, hallelujah. Lazarus had to die again, but Jesus never would need grave clothes again. He never would need that napkin again. I say glory, hallelujah. The resurrection of the blessed darling Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He rose, he rose, he rose. Hallelujah, he lives, he lives. He lives. They didn't have to loose him. Didn't have anybody help him get loose. Didn't anybody have to help him get out of the grave. Thank God he's out of him. Amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I say hallelujah tonight. I praise his holy name. And I have been saved by the grace of God. That life that Jesus has been implanted into me. And one day, glory, hallelujah. I'll be over in glory and glorified body with him. And don't need grave clothes. Never again. Amen and amen. Preacher, good. If you don't get anything else tonight, I hope you got that. Because that blessed my heart so much I couldn't stand myself. I thought when I looked at my watch, I said, oh my, they're starting singing out there. I got to get out and preach. But glory, hallelujah. Jesus conquered it all. There's been a change made. And so the change is made here. And he said, loose him and let him go. Unsaved, when they get saved, this old flesh don't get saved. Flesh doesn't change. There's a new birth on the inside. You still have that old flesh to deal with. And when he says loose him and let him go, we need to win him to God, teach him. Over in Titus 1, no, anyway, it's in Titus. He said, for the grace of God appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, godly, in this present world. Now, what he's saying is, you win them to God and teach them, preach to them, and teach them, and the Word of God, and he'll loose them, amen. We're wrapped up in things when we get saved and have to have some help along the way, and somebody guide you this way. No, that's not right. Do y'all do this? And this ought to be done. I've had some folk got saved. I had a lady one time call me up in Virginia. She worked in a bank. That's where I met her. And I got the witnessing to her and then went to her house, and her husband, they both got, well, they got saved in church, but two different Sundays. But anyway, she got saved. She called me up and she said, preacher, what's this about tithing? And I told her. And she said, well, if the Bible says we're supposed to do it, we're going to do it. I said, hallelujah. I hung up the phone. I said, Juanita, Chris got saved. She said, what do you mean? How you know? I said, because she wants to do what God said. Amen. That's a good sign knowing that you're saved. Amen. Amen. If you have a desire to do what God says when you're saved and born in the family of God, ain't no question about that. Y'all still with me? Amen. Loose them and let them go. Amen. Teach them right. Tell them the truth and let them live for God. And so he's been worked on. But notice why Jesus raised him from the dead. I'll get it right. And raised him from the dead. He loved him. Look at verse 35 and 36. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I'm glad Jesus wept. You say, preacher, why are you glad Jesus wept? Because I know he identifies when I weep. He identifies when we weep. I'm glad he wept. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. He loved him. Amen. He loved us too. And I praise God for that. But notice something else over in verse number 4 of this same chapter. When Jesus heard that he said, he's talking about Lazarus being sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Remember this morning I was talking about why that man was born blind? We were talking about that in prayer room a little bit. And for the glory of God. And here he said, this sickness of Lazarus, and he's going to die and all that. But said, it's not unto death. And in other words, he's not going to stay dead. It's just for the glory of God. Amen. Praise God. These things we all go through just for the glory of God. To glorify him, magnify him, and give him glory and honor and praise. And I thank him and praise him for it. Over in 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from so great a death doeth deliver, whom we'll trust he will yet deliver us. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin. He is now delivering us from the power of sin. He will one day deliver us from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Well, let me give you the last thing, the consequence here of being saved. We're talking about life. Now, he got life. When Jesus came by and called his name, got him out of the grave, he got life. We was like that. We was laying up, all wrapped up in grave clothes, dead. But Jesus came by, raised us from the dead, said, loose him, let him go. We've been learning about Jesus ever since, getting better as it goes. But now notice the consequences of what happened here. Looking for chapter 12, verse number 1-2. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him. He fellowshipped. He went where Jesus was and sat at the table, like going to church, sitting at the table of God. He wanted to fellowship with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He raised him from the dead. Now, let me just plug his in right here. He'd been odd looking if he stayed in his grave clothes, all wrapped up, barely moving, and napkin on his face, couldn't see where he was going. Now, Jesus said, you can't leave him like that. Got to loose him, let him go. And when he loosed him, let go. And so I'm glad Jesus breaks the bond of sin, but man teaches the word of God and helps him. And then he's alive and delivered, and then wants to fellowship with Jesus. And somebody's talking to me after church this morning. I appreciate what they had to say. Said, I'm glad we're having church on Christmas. And we are. We're going to have church. Amen. Amen. We say, well, preacher, it's Christmas. I know it. Whose birthday is it anyway? It's sure not Santa Claus's. It's not the birthday. Amen. Jesus' birthday. I never could understand why you wouldn't have church on the very one that you're celebrating or commemorating his birth. Well, anyway, we won't get into all that tonight. That's about as bad as Super Bowl. But anyway, we're going to have church. But what I'm saying is he wanted to fellowship with Jesus. Then look at verse number 9, chapter 12. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. Look at verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. He not only walked with Jesus, but he was a witness for Jesus. Amen. He was a living witness. Your life and my life ought to be such that lived in such a way, walked with him in such a way, that people see Jesus in you. You've been somewhere and somebody just say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Or they've asked me about being preachers many times, but just somewhere, never said anything, just being there. Ain't something about saved people that just shines out somewhere if they're really living close to God. And people pick up on that real quick. And I'm glad Lazarus was that kind. He was a walking miracle, and we are too. Amen. It's a miracle. The greatest miracle ever happened in anybody's life was when Jesus saved you by his marvelous grace and birthed you in the family of God, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever experience. Then walk with Jesus and let others see it, and they'll want to know how they can experience that miracle. Amen. But some one other thing I want to give you, and I'm closing. Verse number 10 in chapter 12. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They persecuted him. He not only walked with Jesus, not only was a witness, but they got trying to get rid of him. See, people, I said this morning, preaching irritates, and sometimes people that's witnessing, they irritate people they're witnessing to. And sometimes they try to get rid of you. They want you to leave. They'll try to be nice sometimes. I've seen a few that wasn't. But anyway, most of them will try to be nice to get you to go. And I try not to be like a bull in a china shop. And I try to let God guide me and direct me and the Holy Spirit give you. There's times that you can really witness and really try to win them to God right there. And there's other times you leave a track. There's other times you just say a word, invite them to church. And I encourage you to invite people to church Wednesday night for a Christmas program with the children. Well, Sunday night, next Sunday night for the adult program. Invite people to church. It's Christmas. They may just come. Be a good time for them to come. Well, Martha, she served. Mary, she worshiped. And here's Lazarus walking. That's another message, but I just thought I'd plug it in. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Life. Results of salvation is eternal life. Are you alive tonight? Do you know Jesus as your Savior tonight? Young person, child, man, woman, boy, girl, do you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you know that? If you don't know that, it'd be a good time to step out where you are and come. Get on the altar and ask God to save you. Somebody will help you. You say, but I'm afraid, I'm ashamed, I don't know what to do. You just let God help you, and he'll help you. Why don't you come? Those with you come with you and help you. Then some of you just need to get right with God. You'd like to come. Won't you just obey God and do what God says? Now, I'm not going to prolong the invitation. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand at our feet and sing. You come, God speaking to your heart, and let God help you. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God do the work now of convicting, empower, drawing to Jesus. May people realize to have life, they must be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.